more than a third of the people who have died on Northland's roads this year tested positive for drugs. Northland Road Policing Manager, Inspector Wayne Ewers, believes methamphetamine use is a problem on Northland roads, and an article on stuff.co.nz yesterday lists the region as having the worst road crash stats in the country. Well, joining me to talk about this is Ross Bell. He's the Executive Director of the New Zealand Drug Foundation. Hi, Ross.
Good evening, Karen.
Now, this is quite timely because at the moment, New Zealanders are able to voice their opinion on the Random Oral Fluid Testing Amendment Bill, which is basically a roadside saliva test to see if you've got drugs in your system.
Yeah, well, it is timely, and this issue always seems to pop up in Parliament. You know, there's sort of public demand that we do something about drug driving, and so the previous government, and we have members of Parliament in the opposition are putting forward a bill, which we don't suspect is going to get anywhere because right now the government itself is consulting on how, you know, talking to the public about how they think they could improve the whole issue of enforcing drug driving laws, and including examining, you know, whether we should introduce roadside saliva testing.
Yeah, of course, because the referendum coming up, this is going to be a big issue if it passes. We'll come back to that in a moment, but when I saw this story today, I thought, oh, it's a bit of a beat-up for Northland.
Yeah, it's complicated. I mean, there's a whole lot of strands to this. One of them is you know, the stats that the police officer's talking about, you know, the number of drivers that in terms of dead drivers, they're testing the blood and finding a presence of drugs. Well, we all know that just because you have drugs in your system, the drugs may not have you may not have been impaired at the time, and therefore you may not have actually, you know, the drugs may not have been a contributing factor to the crash. So that's one thing. But there does seem to be, you know, I get your point about, you know, we're picking on Northland. But there does seem to be something right now, and it's happened the last few years, that Northland does seem to be a bit of a hot spot when it comes to methamphetamine right now. You know, we had the half ton of meth washed up on, you know, being smuggled into the country up in Northland. It does seem from you know, community leaders, they're saying that it's easier to get meth than it is cannabis, and they've got you know, a new treatment program up there where the police are actually doing a fantastic job referring people away from the criminal justice system into treatments. And there's a lot of demand for meth treatment right now up in Northland. And there's also some recent work that police and ESR, the government scientists, have done around they've been testing wastewater, so sewage, you know, sewage treatment water across the country. And that has showed recently that Northland does have higher rates of methamphetamine in the wastewater than in other parts of the country. So there does seem to be something
in the water
happening up in Northland that isn't happening in other parts of the country. So the police officer is probably correct that there might be something in this.
There's a big difference between meth and cannabis, though, isn't there, in terms of impairment?
Yeah, and again, what are we going to do about that? So everyone keeps, you know, thinking about, oh, what do we do if we're going to change our cannabis law, and what are the road safety issues sometime in the future? Well, our view is that these are issues today. Whether a drug is legal or not, we do have a problem in New Zealand with drug-impaired driving, equally alcohol-impaired driving, but drugs are a problem whether they're legal or not, and we do need to find a way of dealing with it. I'm not convinced that if we legalise cannabis that we're going to increase our road safety risks. I actually think we have a road safety risk now that we have to deal with, and we do have to think about, you know, what is the best way of dealing with that, and that, you know, some police and you know, some politicians want us to quickly introduce this saliva testing, but I think we need to tread carefully around, you know, trying to find a solution where the science may not quite be there yet.
Yeah, because when you think about the effect, let's just focus on cannabis, it affects different people differently. If it goes through that we legalise cannabis use, then there's got to be a safe amount somewhere. So what is that going to be?
Well, these are all important questions. I think probably the easiest way to deal with that is to say, you know, there's no safe amount. You know, just with young people and alcohol, we have a zero limit. The UK that have set some drug driving limits have set zero limits. So whatever the legal status of a drug is, we actually might want to send a fairly clear message that, you know, if you are high, if you're impaired, then simply don't drive. I think that's the basic message. But it's not as simple as that, right? Because you do need some kind of testing regime to figure out, you know, to catch people, I guess.
You think that's for all drivers, that if the law passes that cannabis use is legal, for all age drivers it should be zero?
Well, it's complicated. I think you're right. A lot of people don't realise, and you know, and you said it just then, that it varies quite differently between people, whether you're thin or fat, whether you're male or female, whether you're a regular user of cannabis or a novice user of cannabis. Any tests that there are, the levels are going to be very, very different. Individuals metabolise cannabis quite differently to how we metabolise alcohol. So setting a limit there's no good scientific basis for setting a limit. Some jurisdictions have. Colorado has set a limit, but that's not based in any smart science. That's kind of a let's take a punt here. So I think it would be right to, if we were going to introduce a saliva regime, and we still have questions over that technology, though, about saying to people, you know, if you're smoking, don't drive. You know, give yourselves 4, 5, 6 hours from the time you smoke to the time you hop in the car. And I think having some simple road safety messages out there that actually start challenging some of the myths that we have around, well, you know, I smoke weed and I drive slower, therefore I'm safer. Well, the reason you're driving slower is because you're high, you're impaired, your reaction times are a little bit off, your perception's a little bit off, you shouldn't be driving. So I think we could have some clear messages there. But then when it comes to what kind of regime are we going to have and what kind of penalties, you know, we might have, and what kind of technology we might use. I think that those are big questions that the government's still grappling with.
That's on the assumption that it's a yes vote for the referendum, of course. But they have to have all these things in place, don't they?
Yeah, well, but again, I don't think the legal status matters. I think we should be dealing with this issue
now.
Impaired driving now, whether cannabis is legal or not, or meth. You know, because meth's not going to be legalised anytime soon. You know, we do need to be figuring out this question of how do we convince people to, you know, if you are smoking weed, or if you're smoking methamphetamine, or you know, if you've been prescribed medications that impair. Research out of New Zealand Transport Agency found that a quarter of the prescriptions that are currently out there in society today, a quarter of them are for drugs for medicines that would impair people. And are doctors having those conversations with patients? And are people, you know, do they look on the side of the bottle and it says, you know, don't drive after using your medication? And most people do. So it's not whether it's meth or pot or benzodiazepines or other prescription medication. It's we need to get messages out there that there are things that impair. Some of them are legal. Some of the medicines you shouldn't really be driving, you know, while you're impaired. And that's a challenge. So the saliva, everyone says, oh, why don't we introduce the saliva testing? Well, the saliva tests will, you know, it will find meth and it will find cannabis, but it's not going to find a lot of prescription medications. So it might deal with some of the issues, but it's not going to deal with all of the issues. And weirdly, and people may not quite believe this, but the current test the police have, which is this walk in a straight line and touch your nose and, you know, the kind of stuff you see on, you know, US police shows, those tests that New Zealand police have now are actually really accurate in determining whether someone is impaired or not. So I think the cops should look at, you know, maybe doing more of those in introducing untried technology. I think we do need sort of a, and, you know, it sounds a little bit zero tolerance-y and, you know, anti-drugs and whatever, but it's like, you know, if you're smoking or if you're injecting or if you're doing whatever, just stay off the road, please, you know. But there is mythology, you know, you smoke weed, you're cruising, you're relaxed, it's all right, I'm driving slow. You know, that's something that I think we do have to bust a little bit better.
Absolutely, and certainly for all of those people who have lost loved ones on the road due to people who have been impaired.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I suspect, and not because, you know, we're getting more tolerant with drugs, I suspect that it does seem to be a growing problem. Well, it's probably a problem that we haven't really considered. You know, our awareness of it is getting better.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for all of that, Ross. Appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, cheers, Karen. Thanks.
That's Ross Bell. He's the Executive Director of the New Zealand Drug Foundation.